Against a black background, a white sphere revolves. A line cuts through the center of the sphere and on one side divides. The bottom half has a line out to one side, forming a stylized G. A Geffen Company release, distributed by Warner Brothers. A Warner Communication Company. White-edged captions appear on a black background. The Geffen Company presents a Tim Burton film. Jaunty letters appear on a plaque that has three skulls along the top and the bottom. Beetlejuice. An aerial view over a dense forest. In a valley is a small town made up of quaint clapboard houses. Alec Baldwin. Gina Davis. Jeffrey Jones. Catherine O'Hara. Winona Ryder. Sylvia Davis. The clapboard houses are arranged along a central road and have white walls and pale grey roofs. Co-starring Robert Goulet, Dick Cavett, Glenn Shaddix, Annie McEnroe and Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice. The road winds past more houses with lush lawns around them. Some have pine trees in their gardens. Casting by Jane Jenkins and Janet Hershenson, CSA. Costume designer Aggie Gerard Rogers. Music composed by Danny Elfman. Edited by Jane Curzon. Production designer Beau Welch. Director of photography Thomas Ackerman. The road travels out of the town and up a hill flanked by tall trees. The tarmac road becomes a winding track. Story by Michael McDowell and Larry Wilson. Screenplay by Michael McDowell and Warren Scarron. Produced by Michael Bender, Larry Wilson and Richard Hashimoto. Directed by Tim Burton. On top of a hill is a lone house. It has a stone-walled basement. Steps lead up to a porch surrounding the red front door. White walls rise up on three floors to a tall, pitched roof. There is a tower at one side with a square, sloping roof. A fat spider crawls over the pinnacle of the roof. The house is a model. A man reaches out and gently picks up the spider. He looks at it through his spectacles.
Oh, that's a big fella. Whoa.
The man, Adam, is in his 30s. He has a fresh, handsome face and neat light brown hair. He's wearing a bold black and white checked shirt and light brown trousers. He carries the spider to an open window and gently tosses it out. Adam goes back to his model, which is of the house on the hill and the town below surrounded by the forest. A pretty young woman with thick, wild, curly brown hair, Barbara, comes in grinning.
Looks great.
Thank you.
Happy vacation, honey.
She gives him a present.
Manchurian tongue oil. Where did you get this?
Helen got it for me in Oslo.
Well, there's enough here to do the whole table and the bureau.
He gives her a present.
I wonder what this could be. Oh, honey, you got it. Thank you.
There's enough here to do the entire guest room.
I'm so glad we're spending our vacation at home. I'm going to get started right away.
Hey, where are you going?
He pulls her onto a chair and kisses her.
I'll get it.
Be my guest.
I'll just get the...
She gets up. He pulls her back.
Maybe you should get it.
Okay.
He gets up, she pulls him back, and they kiss.
Oh, no.
They go to a window and look down. A woman's getting out of a car.
Oh, Jane.
It's your turn, honey.
Barbara, who's wearing a long flowery dress and apron, runs down the stairs. Adam follows, smiling gleefully. At the doorway to the kitchen, Adam grabs Barbara and kisses her. Barbara opens the door to short, prim Jane.
Hi, Barbara. Hi. I'm glad I caught you. I heard you're on vacation.
That's right, Jane. Complete vacation.
Honey, today I'm $260,000.
No, Jane. It's 6:45 in the morning.
This offer is real. From a man in New York City who only saw a photograph.
Jane, don't send people photos of our house.
He wants to bring the wife and family up here for some peace. Why?
That's exactly what we're looking for.
But Barbara, this house is too big for you. It really ought to be for a couple with a family, you know?
Barbara looks down sadly.
Oh, Pumpkin, I didn't mean anything. It's just that, really, this house
Jane,
is too big.
I'll see you in a few weeks, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Think about it.
Take care.
Adam's in his workshop in the cellar. He turns on a cassette, then goes to a brown blind and pulls the cord. The blind rolls up. Jane's outside the dirty window.
I was just telling Barbara about this offer on the house.
No, Jane.
Adam pulls the blind down and picks something up. He switches off the tape and walks towards the stairs.
Barbara, come with me down to the store.
What for?
I need a new brush for this tongue oil and I want to get a part for the model.
Well, you just run in, okay?
Barbara and Adam run down the steps at the front of the house, which is the same as the house on the hill in the model. They get into a yellow Volvo estate, Barbara in the driving seat. They drive away from the house, down the track, flanked by lush greenery.
2 weeks at home. The perfect vacation.
Jane says we should sell the house to someone with a family.
Well, I don't think that it's any of Jane's business. Besides, we could try again on this vacation, you know?
Oh, really? What are you saying?
He kisses her neck. They drive over a covered bridge in the shape of a pitched-roofed cabin that spans a river. As they head along the road into a town, a small terrier trots across in front of them. They pause by a man polishing a figure of a lion at the top of some steps.
How you doing, Ernie?
Hiya, hiya.
Barbara stops by the hardware store where a white-haired man is sitting on a bench outside. Adam steps up to the entrance.
Morning, Adam. You need a haircut for your vacation?
Oh, thanks, Bill.
How's the model coming?
Oh, it's great.
You know, you said Grossman built that foundation in 1835, but his grandson's coming last
year. As Bill rambles on, Adam goes in the store and gets some things.
He got hair right down to his goddamn shoulders. He says to me, just trim it a little. I took a scissors to get him.
See you later, Bill.
Adam gets back in the car.
Right.
Barbara turns round and drives them back towards the covered bridge, just as the terrier trots towards it.
This is going to be great.
Are you sure you wouldn't rather go to Jamaica or someplace like that?
No way. There's no place like
that. Hey, look out for that!
Adam sees the dog. The car swerves and smashes through the wooden slats at the side of the bridge. The front end of the car pokes out over the river. The rear is raised off the ground. Adam and Barbara cautiously look round. A plank is sticking out from under the car. Standing on the end is the little dog. It hops off. The Volvo estate plummets into the river. It lands on its roof, then sinks under the water. The little dog runs to the hole in the side of the bridge and looks over the edge. In Adam and Barbara's lounge, a cuckoo clock strikes six. In the hearth, a fire lights itself. Adam and Barbara walk in, soaking wet.
Start to our vacation.
Oh, you'll feel better when you're dry, honey.
That fire wasn't burning when we left.
How's your arm?
I don't know. It feels frozen.
They sit on the rug by the fire and hold their fingers in front of the flames. Barbara's fingertips ignite. Adam lifts up Barbara's hand. Two of her fingertips are still alight. She blows them out. A russet red sky hangs above the house.
Make some coffee and you get some wood for the fireplace.
Well, maybe we should just take things extra slow. Do you remember how we got back up here? I'm gonna go back down to the bridge and retrace our steps.
Adam goes outside and finds himself in a barren desert landscape with twisted bits of wood sticking out of sand. A massive creature with a dorsal fin surges towards Adam. Barbara pulls him back.
My
2 hours!
Oh, Barbara, you are not going to believe what?
That's how long you were gone!
They go to the lounge.
What is going on?
I have to show you something. Look.
They stand facing a mirror above the fireplace. Barbara picks up a china horse. The horse is reflected, but she and Adam are not.
There's that. And there's that.
Adam picks up a book. Handbook for the recently deceased.
Handbook for the recently diseased.
Deceased.
He stares at the cover.
Deceased.
I don't know where it came from. Look at the publisher.
Adam opens the book.
Handbook for the recently deceased press.
You know what? I don't think we survived the crash.
In their bedroom, Adam sits on the bed reading the book while Barbara paces.
I hate this. Just, can you give me the basics?
This book isn't arranged that way. What do you want to know?
Well, why did you disappear when you stepped off the porch? Are we halfway to heaven? Are we halfway to hell? And how long is this going to last?
I don't see anything about heaven or hell. This book reads like stereo instructions. Listen to this. Geographical and temporal perimeters. Functional perimeters vary from manifestation to manifestation. Oh, this is going to take some time, honey.
Barbara flops onto the bed. A grey sky hangs above the house. Down the hill, below the dense trees in a dark enclave, a lantern and several candles burn. A man sits in the shadows reading a newspaper, The Afterlife. The headline, Sandworm Incidents Increase.
Damn sandworms, 13%, huh? Well, I better find a job. Let's see, business section.
He turns to the obituaries page. There's a picture of Adam and Barbara.
Ooh la la, what do we got here? The Maitlands, huh? Cute couple. Look nice and stupid, too.
In the attic, Adam's adding his and Barbara's funeral to his model of the town. Barbara's dusting.
I wish I had a better view of the cemetery from here. I can't tell which is the best placement for us.
Barbara slumps onto the couch, which has a dust sheet over it.
Cabin fever, hon?
Well, I can't clean anything properly. The vacuum's out in the garage and we can't leave the house. Why don't they tell us something? I mean, where are all the other dead people in the world? Why is it just you and me?
Maybe this is heaven.
Heaven, there wouldn't be dust on everything.
Adam and Barbara go to the window. Adam leans out and looks down.
It's Jane.
She's standing by her car with a little girl.
What's she doing here?
I don't know.
Hey, Jane, up here! Jane!
Not hearing, Jane and the girl go back to the car.
Can't see you, right?
Uh-uh.
In the book, rule number 2, the living usually won't see the dead.
Adam sits down.
Won't or can't?
It just says won't. God, this book is so stupid, I can't understand anything in there.
Barb, honey, we're dead. I don't think we have very much to worry about anymore.
Jane's brown sedan trundles down the dirt drive. It passes a wooden sign. For sale by Jane Butterfield Real Estate. A red plaque with white letters at the top reads, Sold. Morning. Adam and Barbara are lying in bed. Adam rolls over, taking the duvet with him, revealing Barbara to be lying on her side in midair. The house starts to shake and Barbara drops to the floor. Adam puts on his glasses. He and Barbara go to the landing and look down. A large case rolls along the hall and hits the stair rail.
Ah, oh, this is great. This is just what the doctor ordered.
A red-haired woman swans in, followed by removal men.
Sorry, ma'am.
A heavy-set man with light brown hair blusters in.
Delia Dietz, welcome home.
Charles!
It's okay, there's no damage. Look, see? It's okay. Good, sturdy country craftsmanship. And look at that kitchen. You're finally going to be able to cook a decent meal.
White-faced Delia scowls. Jolly Charles stomps towards the kitchen. He glances back at Delia and his smile fades. Delia, all in black, stares incredulously at the homely decor.
A little gasoline. Blowtorch. No problem.
Men bring in an armchair. Sitting in the chair is a teenage girl dressed in black. Her pretty elfin face is white with dark rings around her eyes. Her black hair is tied up in a disheveled, spiky topknot. Holding a camera, she gets up.
We're gonna have to rip out all that plumbing. But other than that, it's perfect. Just perfect. What do you think, honey?
Delia hates it.
The girl, Lydia, sees a spider in a web between the stair rails.
I could live here.
Careful, that's my sculpture. And I don't mean mine's and I bought it, I mean I made it. It's my sculpture.
The man stares at her.
Put it on the table.
The removal man drops the rock with antennae sticking out of it onto the table. Charles sits in a rocking chair, nervously twitching his leg.
10 minutes. I'm already perfectly at ease. It's perfect.
A man climbs in through the window.
It's Otho.
Otho, why don't you just come in the front? Bad luck.
Otho, you left the city for me. I am so happy.
Of course you are.
Otho looks around.
Delia.
You're right.
Let's get one thing straight.
You're right.
We're here to enjoy the country setting, not to trash the place.
You're right.
Charles, you're lucky the yuppies are buying condos so you can afford what I'm going to have to do to this place.
Also,
I'm here to relax and clip coupons. And damn it, I mean to do it.
Then go do it quietly, dear, and let off what I think.
Is the rest of the house as bad as this?
Is this a punishment or something?
Barbara.
What are you gonna do?
We're not completely helpless, Barbara. I've been reading that book, and there's a word for people in our situation. Ghosts.
Julia, let's get this show on the road.
Tubby Otho shakes two aerosol cans.
We're dealing with negative entertainment, isn't you here? I mean, there's absolutely no organic flow through.
I noticed that, too. It's like a giant ant farm.
Otho sees something move in a room.
What?
I thought I saw something.
Portly, dark-suited Otho wanders into a bedroom. Delia sprays mauve on the patterned wallpaper.
You read my mind.
I did?
So few clients are able to read my mind. They're just not open to the experience.
Otho opens a closet and switches on the light. Barbara's hanging from a noose. They recoil. She pulls off her face and her eyes pop out.
Oh my God.
We just have to pray the other closets are bigger than this one.
Ooh, look.
Some clothes.
Ozzy and Harriet.
Ooh.
What happened to these people?
They died. Oh, look, an indoor outhouse.
They walk through the ensuite bathroom into a bedroom.
Otho.
Viridian.
Viridian. Now, why do I know that name?
Blue-green. Hydrated chromic oxide. Remember, I'm schooled in chemistry. I was a hair analyst. Briefly.
They look in a room. Barbara's holding Adam's severed head and a knife.
Ugh. Deliver me from L.L. Bean.
Charles appears.
No! I know what you two are up to, and you're not going to get away with it.
I'm here with you. I will live with you in this hellhole, but I must express myself. If you don't let me gut out this house and make it my own, I will go insane, and I will take you with me!
Charles looks around nervously.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe the house could use a little remodeling, but why don't you just leave this room alone, okay?
Delia grins and minces through with Otho. Charles fumes. Barbara shakes her head sternly.
I'm gonna get her.
So?
Once you cover up the wallpaper, knock down a few walls, this place might just be livable. What's on the third floor?
Attic space.
Oh, I forgot to lock the attic door.
Adam's headless body gets up and runs out of the room and up the stairs past Delia and Otho, who frowns.
Did you feel something?
When?
Adam runs up to the attic and slams the door behind him. Otho walks up and tries the door.
You don't have a key?
Maybe Charles does.
I have a feeling there's something very interesting behind this door.
Yeah, ghosts of the people who died in this house. They want us out of here. So let's do them a favor.
In the study, Charles holds up his hands to try and calm himself. He picks up a magazine. Practical Homeowner. Sits with his feet up on the desk and reads it. Adam comes back in, still headless. In front of the desk, Barbara gives him his head back.
My God, that was close.
Adam puts his head back on.
I cannot watch this. What's the good of being a ghost if you can't frighten people away?
Honey.
No, I'm not putting up with this.
Charles keeps reading the magazine, unaware of them. Barbara runs downstairs. Otho's measuring a beam. She goes through the kitchen.
You don't know what's out there.
Here!
Barbara goes outside and drops into the barren desert. She looks around, frantic. Adam comes out. The door just hangs in a lurid blue sky.
Adam! Barbara! Adam! Adam! Oh, help!
Barbara!
No! I'm getting all yellow!
A dorsal-finned sandworm undulates through the desert towards them. The worm is massive with a grey-striped body. Adam and Barbara run back towards the white door. The sandworm rears up and opens its massive jaws. Another head, this one white, pokes out of the mouth and bears rows of savage teeth. A snake-like tongue waggles and the worm lunges down at Adam and Barbara. They run to the door. Adam frantically wrestles with the handle, opens the door, and they burst back into the kitchen, just as the worm lunges down at the door. Barbara hugs Adam. Delia, Charles and Lydia are eating a takeaway. Lydia's wearing a black veil.
I can't believe we're eating Cantonese. Is there no Szechuan up here?
Planned to have a stroke from the amount of MSG that's in this food.
This is our first meal in this house, so why don't we all do our little private parts to make it a pleasant one?
Don't bait your mother, Pumpkin. As soon as we get settled, we'll build you a dark room in the basement, okay?
My whole life is a dark room. One big dark room.
So you were miserable in New York City, and now you're going to be miserable out here in the sticks. At least someone's life hasn't been upheaved.
I don't know about you two, but I'm perfectly happy here. Those people in New York, they just don't know what they're missing.
Delia looks away and thinks for a moment.
You know, we could become the Summer Art Center of New York. I could start sculpting again. You know I'm only truly happy when I'm sculpting.
That's a very good idea. That'll be, very time-consuming.
First the house. Both want to have some great plans.
I think we should keep it the way it is.
Good idea.
Delia stiffens. Charles shares a look with Lydia.
Furniture truck is coming. We're going to have to decide what goes and what stays.
Everything goes, along with whatever's in the attic.
Adam and Barbara listen sadly by a door. Next day, several trucks and two cranes are parked outside the white-painted house. Otho supervises as one of the cranes lifts a pitched roof-end structure into place. Delia follows a workman down some steps. He keeps walking.
Careful. If you tell me what you do, I'll tell you why my husband will fire you.
Adam and Barbara are in the attic.
Is there an index or something?
No, nothing. What's this?
As Adam flicks through the handbook for the recently deceased, a folded sheet falls out. They look out of a window. Lydia's taking photos.
You people know where that's going? Did anyone tell you where to... Why are there only three sculptures? There were four sculptures here. Where's the fourth? Where's the fourth sculpture? No! No, what are you doing?
A sculpture swings from a crane. Adam unfolds the tatty sheet.
Betelgeist, the bio-exorcist. Troubled by the living, is death a problem and not the solution? Unhappy with eternity, having difficulty adjusting? Call Betelgeist. Betel.
That's it? There's no number or instructions?
Nothing. The bio-exorcist. I don't get it.
They look out of the window. Otho is still giving orders.
Straight back.
Charles enters the kitchen.
Why don't you guys take a break for about half an hour, okay? Uh-huh.
The two removal men leave. Charles shuts the door on another man who's working in a pantry. Wrapped in a smart gentleman's bathrobe, Charles takes a kettle to the sink and fills it with water. He then takes out a herbal tea bag and noses it, smiling contentedly to himself. The sculpture smashes through the window.
Put that down! What the hell are you doing out there?
Listen to me! No!
The sculpture drops.
What are you doing this to me? This is my art, and it is dangerous! You think I want to die like this?
Delia is pinned to a door by the hand-like sculpture. Lydia points her lens at the house, then lowers the camera and gawps. Adam and Barbara are peering out of an attic window. Jane arrives in her metallic brown sedan.
Hi, how are you?
Lydia watches the car park, then turns back. Adam and Barbara have gone. Lydia goes to Jane's car.
That little girl saw us.
Honey, nobody can see us.
But she did.
What happened to the people who used to live here?
They drowned.
Yes, they were family. I was devastated. Here, Pat. Is this the key to the attic?
That's a skeleton key. That key will open any door in the house. Give that to your father. And you might mention that I single-handedly decorated that house in case he needs any advice in that arena. Have him come see.
Two workmen are steaming off wallpaper. Lydia steps through the eerie mist and up a flight of stairs. In the attic, Barbara is looking at wallpaper samples. Hearing a creak, she looks round in alarm.
Don't worry, I'll lock the door.
On the other side of the door, Lydia produces the skeleton key and puts it into the lock. Adam and Barbara drop what they're doing and run round to lean on the door. The telly comes on. In a graveyard, a cowboy sits on a model cow swinging a lasso. Adam moves closer.
Having trouble with a living? You tired of having your homes blazed by a living? You want to get rid of them pesky living critters once and for all? Well, come on down and see me, folks, because I'm the afterlife's leading bioexorcist. Yes, sir. Come on down here, and I want to tell you, I'll do anything.
Lydia's listening.
I'll scare them real bad. The point is, folks, I'm going to do anything to get your business. Hell, I'll possess myself if I gotta.
He tumbles.
Yo, I got demons running all through me. All through me. Come on down here and see it. And hey, Jack, now, you get a free demon possession with every exorcism. Now, you can't beat that, can you? Now, bring a little parts down here. Hell, we got plenty of snakes and lizards for them to play with. There's no problem with that at all. So, see it once. See it twice. charm. And remember, I'll eat anything you want me to eat. I'll swallow anything you want me to swallow. So come on down now. Chew on a dog.
The picture goes fuzzy, then the TV switches itself off. Curious, Lydia waggles the key in the lock. Adam helps Barbara push on the door. Lydia has a thought and lets go of the key. Adam picks up a pencil and pushes it through the keyhole. Lydia watches. The key pops out onto the floor. Her eyes widen. Adam breathes a sigh and then he and Barbara head back in.
We need some help. I read something in this book this morning. Emergencies. Here it is. In case of emergency, draw a door.
Brandishing a piece of chalk, Adam goes to a brick wall.
Draw a door? I don't know why we keep looking in that stupid book.
Adam draws a door on the wall.
Hey, maybe we should try that beetle guy.
Adam stands back.
Oh.
He returns to the wall and draws a doorknob, which he fills in. Barbara observes him with a suffering look. Adam steps back and consults the book.
You didn't actually think that was going to work, did you?
Aha!
Adam strides to the wall.
Knock three times.
Adam quickly steps back. The brick wall starts to shake, mortar crumbles and cracks. A door swings open and green light floods from a chamber beyond. Seeing green light seep through the gap around the door, Lydia's eyes widen. Adam and Barbara stare incredulously. They join hands. Adam puts the book on a dust sheet-covered side table and they walk into the green glowing chamber. The brick door closes behind them. White latticed structures with flat triangular pediments have been added to the outside of the house. There is a deck with a freestanding flat wall at one end. In the study, Charles shakes his jowls. Charles has a stretch and picks up a small model of a bird in a nest. He then sits by the window, which has a half-open blind hanging in front of it. He picks up some binoculars, then casually flips through a book. The Birds of America. Charles lifts a slat and looks through the binoculars. He sees a scraggy crow on a stump pecking at some entrails. He recoils.
Dad!
Can't you see I'm relaxing in here?
Well, I want to tell you what I saw.
What is the point of my coming up here if you people won't let me relax? Duncan.
Sweetheart. Go help your mother.
Maybe you can relax in a haunted house, but I can't.
Lydia suddenly walks off. Charles looks back out of the window at a red brick house with a sloping slate roof.
Nice building. Bad roof. Good parking.
Adam and Barbara walk through the green haze. They go through a knotted wooden turnstile into a waiting room. Barbara nearly trips over a shark that is attached to a man's leg. On a couch is a pale-faced woman. She's been sawn in half. Standing by a lamp is a man holding a rifle. His head is shrunken. A fat man has a large bone wedged in his throat. Barbara gawps.
Adam?
This way, honey.
They go to an information counter. Adam pulls at a roll of numbered tickets, then knocks on a screen, and it's pulled back by a woman with peach-coloured hair.
You don't have an appointment, do you?
Well, we didn't know how to make one.
Appointment for what?
What do you want?
We need some help.
Ha! Already? You just bit the big one 2 months ago and you want help.
2 months? What does that have to do with anything?
You're going to use up all your health vouchers. D-90s. You spend 125 years on Earth, actually in that house, during which you get only 3 Class 1 D-90 intercessions with Juno. You probably haven't even read through the manual completely yet. You'll have to wait if you don't have an appointment.
An appointment with who?
For Juno, your caseworker. Number 54,601, Ferndock.
Lydia pokes the skeleton key Jane gave her into the keyhole in the attic door. She whacks the key in and the door swings open. Lydia enters cautiously. She flicks a switch. 2 globe lights and lots of fairy lights come on, as well as tiny lights in the houses in Adam's model of the town. Lydia, all in black with a wide-brimmed hat on her head and her camera around her neck, walks in, her lips parted and her eyes cautiously darting around, gradually taking in the scene. Lydia picks up the handbook for the recently deceased and flips through it. She stares, captivated, at the pages. Adam and Barbara sit in the waiting room. A man whose body is blackened to a cinder offers Adam a cigarette.
You want a cigarette?
Oh, no, thank you.
I'm trying to cut down myself.
Adam nods politely and pensively. Barbara frowns and shifts uncomfortably on her bench. She glances at her neighbour, the guy with the shrunken head, then leans to Adam.
Adam, is this what happens when you die?
This is what happens when you die. That is what happens when he dies. And that is what happens when they die. It's all very personal. And I'll tell you something. If I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have had my little accident.
The receptionist holds up her wrists. They're slit. A door swings open.
Maitland, party of two. Take the handbook and go to the sixth door.
Oh, we forgot our handbook.
The man at the door has been flattened by a car.
Come on.
Adam and Barbara go into a chaotic, cave-like office. A couple of skeletons sit typing. A white-faced redhead looks up from paperwork as the flattened man with a tire track zigzagging across his chest is winched along on cables hanging from the ceiling.
How do I look? There are no mirrors on this side.
Fine, look fine.
Yeah?
Fine.
Thanks, I've been feeling a little flat.
He's winched through a slot in the wall. Adam and Barbara share a look. A man dangling from a noose that's around his neck distributes paperwork to the ghoulish secretaries. Adam and Barbara head along a corridor with a wonky ceiling and an irregular checker-patterned floor, which a man is sweeping. The walls are lined with covered windows and doors.
125 years. I can't believe this. I can't believe they didn't tell us.
A blind rolls up, revealing a tank full of specters.
Oh, Adam. What is this?
The cleaner steps up behind them.
That's the Lost Souls Room. A room for ghosts that have been exorcised. Poor devils. That's death for the dead.
It's all in the handbook. Keep moving.
Adam and Barbara carry on along the corridor. Adam counts the doors they pass.
Five. This is the sixth door.
They go into a stark room full of abstract organic sculptures.
Weirder and weirder.
As she looks around, Barbara's eyes widen. Adam has a thought.
Barbara. We're home.
Look at this place. Everything's different. All our furniture's gone.
How long do you suppose we were waiting there?
3 months.
A short woman.
I'd almost given up on you. I was about to leave. I do have other clients.
Are you Juno, our caseworker?
Yes, I evaluate individual cases and determine if help is needed, deserved, and available.
Are you available?
No. What's wrong?
We're very unhappy.
What did you expect? You're dead.
We want to get rid of the people who have moved in here. Barbara and I worked very hard on this house.
We probably wouldn't mind sharing the house with people who were...
more like you used to be.
Yes.
But these people...
They go into the lounge.
Things seem pretty quiet here. You should thank God you didn't die in Italy. Caditas. Okay, have you been studying the manual?
Well, we tried.
The intermediate interface chapter on haunting says it all. Get them out yourselves. It's your house. Haunted houses aren't easy to come by.
Well, we don't quite get it.
I heard. Tore your faces right off. It obviously doesn't do any good to pull your heads off in front of people if they can't see you.
We should start more simply, is that?
Start simply. Do what you know. Use your talents. Practice.
Up in the attic.
You should have been studying those lessons since day one. Oh, I've got to go.
What about that guy in the flyer, you know, Beetle?
Shh. Don't even say his name. You don't want his help.
Well,
we might.
No, you don't. He does not work well with others.
What do you mean?
Craggy, white-faced Juno drags on a cigarette.
I didn't want to bring it up. But rather than have you stumble onto it and make another mistake, I'll tell you. He was my assistant. But he was a troublemaker. He went out on his own as a freelance bioexorcist. Claimed he could get rid of the living. Got into more trouble. In fact, I believe he's been sleazing around your cemetery lately. The only way he can be brought back is by calling his name 3 times. But I strongly suggest that you remove the Dietzes yourselves.
Well, how do we contact you if we need you again?
Juno has another drag on her cigarette, then disappears into thin air. Barbara looks at Adam's model of the town and shakes her head despairingly.
Oh, Adam. That guy is in our cemetery.
She's right, honey. We just have to keep this simple. We can do this. Come on.
They walk out of the attic. A fly buzzes over the model. It flies low over the rooftops and down towards the cemetery. It lands on a hillock and walks around. A hand reaches out of the grass, which is made of spiky foam.
Hey, you! Hey, come here! Hungry? Come on! Hey, come here!
A Zagnut bar.
I got something good for you. Come on, come on over.
I have a little pipe. I have something to nosh.
Come here! Help me! Help me!
The fly is dragged under. In the study...
Maxie, have I not always made you money? I think that's the only real question here.
Well, Charles, nobody made me money like you. I mean, before your nerves went, you were a demon.
It's just that Winter River, Connecticut, is, if you'll forgive me, nowhere. I mean, why would I want to invest that kind of money into an old building? Where the hell up there?
It's not a building. That's the beauty of it. These people don't know the value of their property. I can buy the whole town.
Oh, then we own a whole town full of nowhere.
Max, you've got to come up here and see. And, bring Sarah.
Yeah, all right, Charles. It's just that I am kind of busy here.
Just a minute, Max. So...
Now, listen. Enough of this talk about visiting, okay? I gotta go.
You take it easy up there, big fellow.
Goodbye.
Max, wait.
Mustachioed Max in New York hangs up.
Putz.
Charles gets up and stares at the door. Charles goes and opens the door. Standing outside is a figure covered with a sheet with eye holes cut out of it.
Jeez, Lydia, is Connecticut so boring? I had Maxie Dean on the phone, honey. Dad's found a way of making some money while I relax, so would you scram? Your mother's gonna kill you when she sees you cut holes in her $300 sheets.
Charles shuts the door.
This is so corny. Is this what we've been reduced to, sheets?
Think of them as death shrouds, and the moaning is important. Really moan.
Adam and Barbara, with sheets over their heads, wander into a bedroom where Delia is lying asleep with the TV on. In her bedroom, Lydia lies wide awake on her bed, listening.
God, how can you stand that woman?
Lydia gets up wearily, goes to the wall, and bashes it with the heel of her hand.
Cut it out! A child, for God's sakes.
Lydia freezes for a moment. Delia, still half asleep, rolls over and grabs a remote control.
I feel so stupid.
It's not stupid, Barbara. We're ghosts. Do you want to spend the next 125 years having breakfast with this woman? Moan louder.
Delia switches off the TV, then slumps back to sleep.
Oh, God.
Adam and Barbara glide out of the room. Lydia photographs them with an instant camera.
Sick. Sexual perversion. If guys are gonna do that weird sexual stuff, do it in your own bedroom.
Prints spew out of Lydia's camera. She picks one up and looks at it.
No feet.
The picture shows just the two sheets floating in midair. With a quizzical look, Lydia wanders over to Adam and Barbara.
Are you the guys hiding out in the attic?
We're ghosts!
What do you look like under there?
Aren't you scared?
I'm not scared of sheets. Are you gross under there? Are you Night of the Living Dead under there? Like all bloody veins and pus?
Night of the what?
Living Dead, it's a movie. You know, if I had seen a ghost at your age, I would have been scared out of my wits. You're not gross. Why are you wearing sheets? We're practicing.
You can see us without the sheets.
Of course I can see you.
Well, how is it that you see us and nobody else can?
Well, I read through that handbook for the recently deceased. It says, live people ignore the strange and unusual. I myself am strange and unusual.
You look like a regular girl to me.
You read our book?
Yeah.
You could follow it?
Yeah. Why were you guys creeping around in Delia's bedroom?
We were trying to scare your mother.
Stepmother.
You did this? You carved all these little houses and things?
Mm-hmm.
And this used to be your house. Why do you want to scare everybody?
Well, we wanted to frighten you so you would move out.
You don't know the Dietzes very well. My father bought this place. He never walks away from equity. Why don't you leave?
We can't. We haven't left the house since the funeral.
Funeral? God! You guys really are dead.
This is amazing. I better go.
Wait, you know, I don't think it's a very good idea to tell your parents that we're up here.
Not unless you think it'll frighten them away. You tell them that we are horrible, desperate, ghoulish creatures who will stop at nothing to get our house back.
Lydia narrows her eyes.
What if this is a dream? Can you guys do any tricks to prove I'm not dreaming?
Adam looks down. Barbara shakes her head.
Well, if you are real ghosts, you guys better get another routine because those sheets, they don't work.
Lydia goes. Next morning, an earth mover digs up the lawn. Delia's in the kitchen chopping vegetables. Lydia shows her the photos.
Ghosts. You're telling me we have ghosts in this house. Those are pictures of ghosts. Where are they? Ghosts. Lydia, I am giving a dinner party tonight for 7 people. My agent Bernard is bringing a woman who writes for Art in America. In fact, no one dining here this evening has not been in Vanity Fair, except you.
I told him you were too mean to be afraid.
Don't you dare speak to others about me. The only thing that scares me is being embarrassed in front of the few hip people I can get to set foot in this part of Connecticut. So let's play, family, just for tonight.
Lydia sighs and goes. Adam and Barbara are watching from the doorway.
Lydia's trying, but they don't believe her.
She's got photos, Barbara.
Adam, you had a photo of Bigfoot.
My photo of Bigfoot is a different story. Anyhow, we've got to get some help here. We've got to contact this guy, Biedelmeyer, or something.
In the attic, Adam and Barbara sit on the couch. Barbara notices a light flashing across the graveyard on the model.
Adam.
They both crouch down beside the model.
Look.
Barbara points to the graveyard.
It's him. Beetlejuice.
Go ahead, Barbara, say it.
Beetlejuice!
A bright light shines on their faces. They're in the graveyard.
What happened?
I think we're in the model.
They stare at a sign that says, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Hey, look at that.
The sign has red and yellow bulbs flashing around it. There's an arrow pointing down at a tombstone that sits on top of the hillock. The gnarled stone has skeletons sculpted around it and a red inscription. Here lies Beetlejuice, spelt Betelgeuse. An arrow points straight down. There are two shovels leaning against the tombstone. Adam and Barbara walk up and peer at the stone.
Well, where is he? What do we do?
The shovels fall over.
Looks like we dig, Barbara.
They pick up the shovels. Adam prizes up the rubbery grass material, revealing a surface of cork. He digs in with the tip of the shovel. Later, Adam and Barbara have dug down through layers of board and foam. They stand in a hole with the grass their head height, shoveling out bits of cardboard and paper. Adam stops and pokes his shovel straight down.
Oh, it's about time.
They clear detritus off a coffin. A plate on the lid reads Betelgeuse.
I say we open it.
Maybe we should knock first.
The coffin vibrates. Adam and Barbara climb out of the hole as white-faced, black-eyed Beetlejuice flies out of the coffin and into the air. He's wearing a scruffy mac, dirty trousers and shirt, and a peaked cap on a shock of yellow straw-like hair. He lands in front of Adam and Barbara.
Adam! Babs.
grabs Barbara and kisses her.
Boy, do you know how to pick them. Let me ask you something. Is this relationship really solid? Do I have a shot at her at all?
Excuse me.
Sure. Am I overstepping my bounds? Just tell me. Come on. You know what's really beautiful about this? You two kids picked me. You didn't have to, but you picked me. It makes me want to kiss you guys. Come on. Come on.
No.
Give me one.
Come on.
You're hard, Lem. All right, let's get down to business. You're right. I got a card around here somewhere. Here. Who do I have to kill? Here, hold that for me, would you?
A mouse.
Whoa! Ow!
There you go.
You don't have to kill anybody.
Ah, possession. Good. Learn to throw your voice. Fool your friends. Fun and party.
No, we just want to get some people out of our house.
Ah, I understand. Well, look, in order to do that, I'm really going to have to get to know you guys. You know, we got to get closer. Move in with you for a while. Get to be real pals. You know what I'm saying? And save that guy for later.
My wife and I would like to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure. Go ahead, shoot.
Well, for instance, what are your qualifications?
Ah, well, I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it! Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy! Now, what do you think? You think I'm qualified?
Well, what I mean is, can you be scary?
Oh, I know you're asking me. Can I be scary? What do you think of this?
His head sprouts antennae.
You like it?
Excuse us, please.
Sure, talk amongst yourself.
Adam, let's go.
I know, Barbara, honey, but I think he could be of
some
use.
No, let's meet him. Something out of ourselves. We just have to talk.
Yeah.
He looks under her dress.
Hey, excuse me?
What?
Excuse me. We are leaving now.
Oh, come on. Don't go yet. Hey, guy, come on. We're simpatico here. Look at us. Huh? We even shop in the same store. Hey, hermano. Yeah.
Beetlejuice is now wearing a checked shirt like Adam's.
We're like peas in a pod, the three of us. Let's face it, you want somebody out of the house, I want to get somebody out of your house. Come, look, we've been to Saturn. Hey, I've been to Saturn. Whoa, sandworms. You hate them, right? I hate them myself. Come on, kids, what do I have to do to strike a deal with you two, huh?
Adam and Barbara gawp as Beetlejuice's head spins round.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Let's go, Barbara.
Wait. Come on. Just come on for a while. We'll talk inside. Come on.
I'm not staying here another minute.
This is a mess. Don't pay attention to it.
Adam, we have to get out of here.
I agree, but I'll fix something to eat.
Home.
They're back to full size.
Barbara, how did you do that?
Won't be like Italian. Where'd you go? Hey, come on. Hey, where'd you go? Oh, hey, come on. You gotta work with me here. I'm just trying to cut a D. What do you want me to do? Where are you? You bunch of losers! You're working with a professional here!
He shoves a tree over Adam, pushes it back into the ground.
See, we can do this stuff on our own. Besides, I'm not exposing that little girl to that pervert down there.
Well, Barbara, we did call him, and he seemed awfully pissed off.
I don't care. I've changed my mind. Listen, I think we can scare them off ourselves tonight. I have an idea.
What you did with the place is wonderful.
Charles indicates Delia.
So?
Delia looks at her sculptures and smiles at Bernard. Otho is beside a thin woman.
You like them.
I just hope it wasn't yet another of your dreary suicide attempts. You know what they say about people who commit suicide? In the afterlife, they become civil servants.
Otho, I didn't realize you were into the supernatural.
Well, of course, you remember. After my stint with the Living Theater, I was one of New York City's leading paranormal researchers. Till the bottom dropped out in 72.
Paranormal, is that what they're calling your kind these days?
Don't mind her. She's still upset because somebody dropped a house on her sister. Well, this looks really good.
I saw some ghosts.
Everyone looks bemused. Delia paints on a smile.
It's a little private joke that Lydia and I share.
It's not a joke.
Yes, it is. Just today she tried to convince me that this house is haunted. Kids! You know, I love them.
By ghosts?
And designer sheets, no less.
Delia glares at Charles.
I'd like to propose a toast to our intrepid friends who braved the Cross Bronx Expressway and 24 tall booths to be with us here this evening. May your buildings go condo. Now, Lydia, favor us about your ghosts.
No. I am sick of that subject.
Oh, Delia, lighten up.
I would rather talk about...
Delia suddenly bursts into song. She frowns as she raises her arms against her will.
It's cute, Delia.
Lydia smiles. Charles looks under the table.
Otho, are you doing
work
this?
Work all night on a drink of rum.
Delia winks as she and Charles rise from their seats. The guests all frown as they lose control of their hands, pick up napkins and swirl them around. Otho springs to his feet, picks up an ice bucket, turns it over and beats it like a drum. Delia looks horrified as she raises her arms above her head and wiggles her hips around. At the other end of the table, Charles is doing the same. The thin woman, Otho, Bernard and his glamorous partner slowly rise. They wave their arms from side to side and shake their chests. Lydia stands in the corner, cracking up as the dinner guests join hands and pull each other this way and that. The guests shimmy round the table, their expressions switching between perplexed frowns and ecstatic grins as their bodies move against their will.
A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
They stick their bums in the air and waggle them, then make claw hands and sit back down. Decorated prawns stick out of the bowls in front of them. These turn into hands that reach up and clamp onto their faces, then push them over in their chairs. Adam and Barbara run into the attic and hug each other.
We did it!
Let's watch them scatter. Any minute now they're going to come running out of that door screaming.
They look down at the four flash cars parked outside.
Any minute now.
Barbara turns to the door.
Me, Lydia. I want you to come downstairs. Delia says you can wear any sheets you want.
In the lounge.
It was like being in an amusement park. Bam!
I didn't even know I could do the calypso.
That's more fun than us.
We're dealing with Tracy and Hepburn here. A very sophisticated pair. I mean, they even appear in sheets.
But Charles, what I want to know is why didn't you tell us about this before?
Oh, wow.
Well, we're not even sure we want our little secret out. I mean, everyone's going to want them for their parties.
People will pay big money for this, right, Grace?
The Enquirer is offering $50,000 for proof of life after death.
This is it, Charles. You can get Maxie Dean up here now.
You think so?
Sarah loves the supernatural. She'll have him sprint up here in his helicopter if you can produce ghosts for her.
I should remind you all that I am Delia's agent. I have consistently lost money on her work for years. Now, if anything actually happened here, I shall handle it. But not until I've seen some real proof.
But, Bernard, what about
this? What
do you
call that?
Table.
What just happened? What was that? And what money? Don't you believe in my work?
Here's Lydia. Well?
So you don't want to come down.
Charles.
Otho walks over to Lydia, followed by the others.
Why not?
I think the reason is that they were trying to scare you away and you didn't get scared.
Please, they're dead. It's a little late to be neurotic.
Delia looks around. They're all unimpressed.
All right.
Bernard, his glamorous partner, and thin, dark-haired Grace head for the door. Delia follows them.
This was not a hallucination. This was real. We all just experienced a very super powerful paranormal experience, and it was real.
Delia, you are a flake. You have always been a flake. If you insist on frightening people, do it with your sculpture.
Drive carefully.
I'm dead.
Where do they hide out?
The attic.
The attic's locked.
They're ghosts, Dad. They can do what they want.
Yeah, they do whatever they want. Lydia, you take us up there right now.
Lydia leads Delia, Otho, and Charles up to the attic.
Fabulous. Otho Finlock's locked door ghosts. Probably committed suicide up there. I'm totally enchanted.
They're in there. They must live like animals.
It's locked. How do they get in?
Open this door, you dead people, or we'll bust it down and we'll drag you out by the ropes you hanged yourself with.
They didn't commit suicide.
It doesn't matter. Lenny, I have a chance to teach you something here. You have got to take the upper hand in all situations, or people, whether they are dead or alive, will walk all over you. Oh, pile up!
The door swings open. They walk in cautiously. The room is dimly lit by fairy lights hanging from the ceiling and the glow from the houses in the model town.
So where are they?
Listen, you guys, these ghosts are really nice people. I think we scared them away, so let's just leave them alone, all right?
It's the whole damn town.
They look at the model.
I have never been so embarrassed. They haven't gone for good, have they?
Otho looks around. Charles flicks a toy car along a street.
Amy.
Dad, don't. Come on, let's just go.
Otho's eyes light up when he sees the handbook for the recently deceased. He picks it up and flicks through it. Delia grins at Lydia.
No ghosts here.
Delia runs to the stairs.
But come on! If they are in here, I don't want to scare them away.
She grabs at Charles.
Well, we're leaving now. You can go about your business.
Otho slips the book inside his jacket and follows the others out. Adam and Barbara are hanging outside the window. In the model graveyard, Beetlejuice stands smoking by his tombstone.
Oh, boy! You guys are really a couple of spooksters, aren't you? Now, let's turn on the juice and see what shakes loose.
Adam and Barbara climb in on the stairs.
Otho, you get Maxie on the phone right away. We really got something here. We can turn this place into the world's leading supernatural research center. An amusement park. I'll make the presentation. Lydia will bring the ghosts.
I can't bring the ghosts, Dad. They're not here.
Otho, can't you do something?
Perhaps, if I'm properly motivated.
What motivation do you require, Otho?
Why don't you just leave them alone? They didn't do anything to you.
The banister takes on the skin of a reptile. Delia's mouth hangs open, as do the others. Beetlejuice, transformed into a savage-toothed reptile with a mutated human head, rears up in front of them. Otho and Lydia back towards the wall. Beetlejuice leans down and appears between Delia's legs. Otho runs past Beetlejuice, who thwacks him with his rattlesnake tail. Otho tumbles down the stairs. Charles winces and runs into the study. Beetlejuice wraps his snake-like form around Charles's ankles, lifts him into the air, and dangles him upside down over the stairwell.
Stop!
No. Beetlejuice drops Charles down the stairwell. Barbara appears on the landing.
Beetlejuice!
Beetlejuice vanishes.
Why are you doing this? Leave me alone!
Lydia runs to her room. Adam and Barbara return to the attic.
What choice we've got here? We get to spend the next century either hanging out the window or doing parlor tricks.
Maybe they'll leave now. That snake was a pretty nasty customer.
Well, he could have hurt somebody.
But he didn't. We got him right where we want him.
Back to his old self, Beetlejuice has crashed a toy truck into a fire hydrant.
You bunch of losers! How dare you hear out the professional while he's working!
I'm not fond of Charles Dietz particularly, but you could have killed him.
Hey, I'm just doing my job. Besides, I thought we had a deal. Hey, it's okay. You know why? I don't want to do business with you deadbeats anyway. Thank you. The only one I think I can deal with is that growling Poe's daughter. I think she understands me.
You leave her alone, you...
Barbara picks tiny Beetlejuice up. He grows spikes and she drops him onto the lawn, which he sticks into. He pulls himself out and staggers to his feet.
Make my millennium.
Adam and Barbara stare down at him.
Yeah. I'm feeling a little, anxious, if you know what I mean. Been about 600 years, after all. I wonder where a guy, an everyday Joe like myself, could find a little action.
Bye!
Yeah.
Beetlejuice is bathed in red light from a lurid club, Dante's Inferno Room. Buxom women in sexy red dresses gyrate on a balcony. They've got horns. Beetlejuice jigs towards the club.
Oh, yeah, here I come, baby.
He waves his arms in the air as he approaches the mouth-shaped entrance. Watching, Barbara frowns at Adam.
Adam, why did you build that?
I didn't!
They're transported back to the cave-like office with a hanging man dangling from the ceiling. Juno's sitting in her office with a mutilated football team.
Will you guys shut up and leave me alone? I've got all this paperwork to do. You two, come in here. Sit down. Get in here, both of you.
Adam and Barbara sit in front of Juno.
my idea. I want Beetlejuice out of the picture.
I can't believe you two have really screwed up. I received word that you allowed yourself to be photographed. And you let Beetlejuice out and didn't put him back. And you let Otho get hold of the handbook.
A handbook? When?
Never trust the living. We cannot have a routine haunting like yours provide proof that there is existence beyond death.
Coach, where's the men's room?
Yeah.
I'm not your coach. He survived.
By the way, Coach, let me get something straight. What's our curfew around here?
Will you get out of here? Go on, get downstairs. Men's room, are you kidding? Hey, to read signs. I'll be right back.
Charles and Delia are sitting out on their stark white terrace under blue sky dotted with fluffy white clouds.
Maybe this was all a bad idea.
I didn't say anything. Oh, who are we kidding, Charles? You've never had a bad idea.
Yeah? Yeah, this could all work out. No, I'm not sure that this is the right environment for Lydia. Snakes? Ghosts?
Shrimp.
Ah, you family types. You've got other things to worry about. Maxie Dean's coming up here tonight. You've got to figure out a way to sell these ghosts. I can only do so much.
What are you going to do, Otho? Viciously rearrange their environment?
I know just as much about the supernatural as I do about interior design.
Up in her room, Lydia, wearing a black mesh veil, is sitting at a desk writing.
I am alone.
She screws up her paper and scowls. She starts to write on a new sheet of paper.
I am utterly alone. By the time you read this, I will be gone. Having plummeted off the Winter River Bridge.
Juno.
So, I don't care what it takes. You get the Dietzes out of there now.
Adam and Barbara stand.
Oh, wait a minute.
Adam and Barbara sit again.
What are you going to do? To scare them. I want to make sure it's not some silly parlor trick.
I'll go first, honey.
Barbara nods. Adam removes his gold-rimmed specs, grasps inside his mouth with one hand, and then hangs onto his nose with the other. He pulls hard, and the skin stretches into a beak with two empty eye sockets above and a kind of cockatiel crest. Adam feels in the sockets and pops out two eyeballs, which he sticks on the ends of his fingers, all of which have eyeballs on them, and wiggles them.
Not bad, not bad. Now you. Go ahead.
Barbara rolls her eyeballs, then pops them back into her head. She opens her mouth wide like a giant dinosaur, and the eyes pop down and sit on her enormous red tongue. Adam puts two eyeballs behind his specs to look at her.
Okay, you look great. Now, go clean house, and don't forget the photographs and the damned handbook.
Barbara and Adam, now with monstrous heads, leave, passing a couple of the beaten-up football players on their way in.
What?
I don't think we survived that crash.
How did you guess?
Lydia steps tentatively into the attic.
Mr. and Mrs. Maitland?
She puts down a paper she's holding and moves across the room.
Hello? Where are you?
Beetlejuice speaks from the balcony of Dante's Club.
Dead-dead-dead-ski.
Of course they're dead. They're ghosts.
No, I mean they're gone. Split. Out of here, afterlife kids. Deceased.
Are you a ghost too?
I'm the ghost with the most, babe.
He removes white shades to reveal black eyes.
You know, you look like somebody I can relate to. Maybe you could help me get out of here, you know, because I gotta tell you, this death thing.
He stamps on a beetle and eats it.
It's just too creepy. See, here's my problem. I got these friends on the outside that I said I'd meet, you know, and that's the kind of thing I have to be there in person, you know. So I was just wondering, could you help me get out of here?
I want to get in.
Why? Well, you know, hey, you probably got your reasons, but the thing is, I can't do anything from over here. If you could get me out over there, then maybe we could talk or something. But, you know, in order to do that, you gotta say my name 3 times.
What's your name?
Well, I can't tell you.
Why not?
You know why? Because if I tell you, you tell your friends are calling me on the horn all the time. I gotta show up at shopping centers for openings and sign autographs, and it makes my life a hell, okay? A living hell. But maybe, do you have a pen? Maybe we can... Oh, I know. You can play charades.
Yeah.
Ah, good, good. Here we go then. Ready?
2 words.
Right.
First word, 2 syllables.
He repeatedly throws his head backwards.
I don't know what your signal means.
Turn around and look behind you!
A beetle speaks to her.
Hi, how are you?
It disappears.
Beetle.
God, okay. Now...
In midair, juice pours from a carton into a glass.
Breakfast, orange, orange beetle, beetle fruit, beetle breakfast, beetle drink, beetle juice.
Yes, that's it!
Name's Beetlejuice.
Ah, you said it twice, just say it once more, come on.
It was you, wasn't it?
Me?
The snake.
No, what snake, you kids in your imagination? Just say it!
I want to talk to Barbara.
No, you don't need to talk to Barbara. Just say it!
Spooky-headed Barbara and Adam head back to the door they made.
Oh, Adam, I can't go through with it. I like that little girl.
But, Barbara, honey, it's too late. We have to go through with this.
No, we don't. I mean, can't we rebel or something?
Oh, Barbara.
Adam, I want to be with Lydia.
He shakes his beak-like head and strokes her shoulder sympathetically before pushing open the door into their attic. Green light floods in. They see Beetlejuice screaming at Lydia.
And just say it! No!
No!
Lydia screams when she sees them. Beetlejuice falls. Barbara is herself again.
It's us. What's going on?
Beetlejuice. He told me that if I let him out, he would take me to the other side to find you.
No, Lydia. We're dead.
I want to be dead, too.
No. Lydia.
Barbara glances behind Lydia at Adam, who's having a bit of trouble making his head human again.
Being dead really doesn't make things any easier.
Listen to her on this, Lydia. This is something we know a lot about.
And you can come up here and visit us anytime you want. I have a feeling that things are going to be a little better around here from now on.
Adam struggles with his beak.
What do you mean better?
Well, we've decided that we're going to invite you and your family to stay.
Adam turns.
That's right, Lydia.
He's human except for a long wobbly nose, which he pushes back in. They all dive for cover when the door opens.
Why can't we just bring Maxie up here?
Now, you've got a stake in this too, Otho. This is a presentation. It requires a sense of occasion, a sense of style. It's so big, how are we going to get it out?
It's sectional. Get it both ends.
Wait.
But careful.
Okay, go.
They lift out the model village.
What's going on?
I don't know. I'll go find out.
Be careful.
We've got Ed Cornwall to head the Wax Museum, dedicated to 50 great moments of the paranormal, here in Thanksgiving Park.
Now, you must remember Ed, Maxie.
He's the genius who gave us the talking Marcel Marceau statue. It was a sensation.
Max scowls.
And Deacon is on its knees to sponsor the insect zoo, here in the old hardware store. We can't lose!
Charles points at the model village, slides his baton away, and looks to Delia, who's clapping with forced enthusiasm.
Lydia, you finally decided to join us. Honey, I just finished the initial presentation, and now I think it's time to have a stretch and to invite our friends to meet your friends, okay?
Are they here yet?
Charles, we're here to see some ghosts.
They're not here anymore.
Everyone looks unimpressed.
Every time she says that, the paint peels and some wild creature tries to kill us.
But we have these pictures, Lydia.
No, really. They said they might come back and we could all live here if you agreed not to tease them or make them do stupid tricks.
She has such a tendency to overreact. Don't worry, we're not relying on her. We have Otho.
Otho is making notes.
Are they still here, Otho?
Otho, are they still here?
Oh, they're still here. They're just hiding out.
Probably feel guilty about what they did to me.
Yeah, they're sorry they didn't kill you.
Well, I don't know from guilt. I just want to see them.
Otho, can you do it?
It'll be tricky, but I think I can handle it.
No!
Otho holds up the handbook for the recently deceased.
Wait, what am I worried about, Otho? You can't even change a tire.
I'll be needing something personal of theirs.
You have to go to the Goodwill.
Delia looks pensive.
Excuse me.
They sit round the table. Otho lights a candle. A white dress and a morning suit are laid out on the table.
The wedding clothes. The words.
Otho raises an eyebrow imperiously, and they all hurriedly join hands. A fire sheds soft light and shadows.
Hands vermilion. Start of five. Bright cotillion. Ravens dive. Nightshade's promise. Spirits strive. To the living, let now the dead come alive.
Lydia watches proceedings. The room goes dark and is then illuminated by lightning flashes. Adam and Barbara are in their attic. Her image begins to fade.
Barbara?
She fades away totally.
Barbara?
As sudden thunder pierces night, as magic wonder, mad affright, rives asunder man's delight, our ghost, our corpse, and we rise to be.
A form fills the wedding dress and stands. Everyone gapes as Barbara's head pops out of the dress. Adam searches in the attic.
Barbara?
Barbara's hand suddenly begins to wither, then her face. In seconds, she becomes old.
Stop it!
Shh.
No.
As flies the lizard, serpent fell, as goblin wizard at the spell, the buried dead and slain, rise again.
Barbara reaches out and takes Lydia's hand. Adam, in the attic, notices his hand fading. Then the whole of him fades. Delia's eyes widen as a form begins to fill the morning suit, which rises up headless. Delia smiles as Adam's handsome young head with spectacles pops out of the neck of the frilly dress shirt. Charles gulps and is riveted. Adam turns to Barbara, who's decaying further and is turning into a skeleton. He takes her hand in his, and her fingers crumble into dust. The ghostly couple look dismayed as her shoe drops off and her feet begin to age.
What's happening to them?
I don't know.
Otho flicks through the handbook.
They're dying!
Already dead, they can't feel a thing.
Adam caresses Barbara.
Right,
that's enough now. Can you stop this? Otho.
It's too late, Charles. I'm sorry.
Lydia thinks, and then hurries over to the model of the village.
Where are you? Oh, help them, please.
Beetlejuice sits astride two tombstones.
Sure, I can help. You gotta help me.
What?
Look, how much am I calling illegal alien, okay? I want out, for good. In order for me to do that, hey, I gotta get married. Hey, these aren't my rules. Come to think of it, I don't have any rules. Come on. Look, you think of it as a marriage of inconvenience, okay? We both get something, I get out. You get to say you're hitched to the most eligible bachelor since Valentino came over. We're even, babe.
Okay, just help them.
Beetlejuice, now in a black and white satin suit, thinks.
Sure.
He sits and does nothing. Lydia sees that Adam is now also aging and beginning to look skeletal. She turns and, gulping, looks down at Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
He nods her on.
Beetlejuice.
He brushes down the arms of his suit.
Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
Lightning flashes around Beetlejuice. Adam and Barbara, their skin almost melted away, stop decaying. Lydia stares at the model village, which is rocking and shaking. Delia, Otho and Charles all sit wide-eyed. Beetlejuice emerges out of the village with a carousel on his head.
Attention, Kmart shoppers!
Everyone gets up from the table and runs towards Beetlejuice emerging out of the model. His black and white striped suit sleeves are rolled up in large coils.
Well, I'm back. I feel real good about myself, you know what I mean? So, well, not further delay.
He sets the carousel spinning.
Welcome to Winter River, Museum of Natural Green, a monument to the board business. Man, come on a little closer. Step right up, test your strength.
He flings out his coiled arms, which unfurl and inflate into gigantic hammers. Max and his wife are standing on the platforms of two strength-testing machines. Beetlejuice lowers his hammer arms, and the couple shoot up through the ceiling. Beetlejuice minus the mini carousel on his head.
Thank you. That is why I won't do two shows a night anymore, babe. I won't do. Well, what do we got here tonight, kids? Ooh, well, we got the Maitlands. I think they've had enough exercise for tonight.
Beetlejuice pretends to make a golf shot. Barbara and Adam slump to the floor. Beetlejuice jumps on a departing Otho's back.
Not so fast, brown boy. We're gonna have some laughs.
Otho tries to run away again.
Otho?
Otho stops. Beetlejuice has him in a spotlight. Beetlejuice pretends to shoot, and Otho is suddenly in a hideous blue suit. Charles and Delia motion wildly to Lydia. Beetlejuice blows his gun fingers.
Mom, Dad.
He hugs them.
I just want you two to know you're welcome at our house anytime you want to come over. In the meantime, the dowry's on me, Dad.
He shoves a rattlesnake in Charles's hand.
Well, the Maitlands are taken care of. Everything seems to be pretty much back to normal, I think.
Beetlejuice is suddenly wearing a fancy red velvet suit. He combs his scarecrow-like blonde hair.
Shall we?
He offers his hand to Lydia, who's now in a scarlet wedding dress. The Maitlands are coming too. Adam's jaw drops off.
Call the caterer's got a great van. Oof, we're gonna need witnesses. Would ya?
Delia and Charles are about to step forward, but stop when they realize Beetlejuice has brought Delia's sculptures to life. The weird creations of rock and metal stump towards them. Barbara and Adam are standing again. A sculpture that at first looks like a wrist with a many-fingered hand on the end turns round and looks like a six-legged dog trotting along. The sculptures place themselves behind Charles and Delia like seats and then envelop them. The couple are lashed into place by snake-like thongs. Beetlejuice makes a fireplace into a doorway. The wall behind splits, and out of luminous green mist, a tiny skeletal alien enters, wearing a suit and jacket and carrying a book. Beetlejuice rushes up to the skeleton with Lydia.
Come on, let's go. It's gonna have a ceremony. Do you, Beetle? Nobody says the B word. Come on.
Do you take this woman to be your wedded wife?
Oh, jeez, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a big decision, isn't it? I mean, I always said if I ever did it, I was going to do it once, and that was it. Well, sure, yeah. Go ahead.
And you, do you, Lydia, take this man?
No! Beetlejuice slaps his hand over Lydia's mouth.
She's a little bit nervous. Maybe I should answer for her, okay?
I'm Lydia Dietz, and I'm of sound mind. The man next to me is the one I want. You ask me, I'm answering. Yes, I love that man of mine.
He takes his hand away from her mouth. Adam is young again. Beetlejuice makes his teeth fall out.
Come on, come on.
The teeth try to speak.
Beetlejuice!
The teeth snap at Beetlejuice's feet as he tap dances them out of the way. He runs back to Lydia and the alien skeleton.
Come on!
Adam rushes up, but he freeze frames him. Adam materializes outside.
May we continue with the ceremony.
Barbara, now young again, appears at the ceremony.
Beetlejuice!
He zips her mouth. She unzips it.
Beetlejuice!
He throws a metal plate, which seals her mouth.
Right.
She tugs at the plate. Beetlejuice returns to the ceremony.
Come on, let's get rolling now, Rip!
Then, by the authority vested in me, the ring, please.
The ring! No!
Adam shuts the bonnet of the truck that crashed into the hydrant. Beetlejuice searches his pockets, bringing out a snake, a rat, beetles, and rubbish.
You know I got it, honey.
Barbara struggles to remove the metal plate. Beetlejuice tosses a handful of stars at her, and she's transported back into the desert landscape. A monster sandworm rears up. Now minus her plate, she gapes. Adam heads off in the red truck through the model village.
Here it is. Oh. There you go. I'm telling you, honey, she meant nothing to me. Nothing at all.
Beetlejuice rips the ring off a dismembered finger. In his toy truck, Adam charges over the edge of the model onto the house floor.
I now pronounce you.
Yeah, come on.
Adam's steering for Beetlejuice's foot. Adam's tiny red truck crashes into Beetlejuice's foot. Charles, Delia, and Beetlejuice look up in horror as a monster sandworm comes crashing through the ceiling with Barbara riding on its back. Barbara slips off the monster's back as it takes Beetlejuice in its jaws and crashes down through the floor. Adam, in his wedding suit, rushes over to Barbara in her wedding dress and hugs her. Charles is nearby, hugging Delia, who reaches out an arm for Lydia, then draws back in fright, seeing the skeletal alien. They all smile at each other. Charles laughs. The alien disappears in flames. The screen fades to black. The sun is shining and there are blue skies over the impressive white clapboard building whose sign reads, Miss Shannon's School for Girls. The stars and stripes blow in the breeze. Gaggles of girls in knee-length skirts and white short-sleeved blouses come pouring out of the building, some getting on their cycles to head off. At the Dietz, Adam and Barbara are decorating.
About 3:30, I guess.
Give or take a year.
Lydia arrives.
Hello!
Well, did you get the paints?
Yes, and I took pictures of the new town hall for you, too.
How'd you doing that science test?
It was gross. They wanted me to dissect a frog. I told them no way. I said it was against my religion. So I got a C.
And how about the math test?
Lydia looks down at the floor.
You have got to be kidding me. We spent the whole week studying for that test.
She smiles.
I got an A. So, can I?
Well, I don't know. Got a C on the science test.
Adam, don't tease her. You never get an A in science, you know.
Adam sticks his hand over Barbara's mouth briefly, then steps back.
Come on.
Well, I suppose.
Adam adjusts his specs and looks at an empty rocking chair which begins to rock to the beat. A pile of hat boxes jumps up and down in time to the music. The cuckoo clock hands spin round wildly. In another room, Charles reads a book, The Living Dead.
This thing reads like stereo instructions. Sounds like Lydia got an A in the math test.
Delia shows him a sculpture and he falls off his chair.
He likes it.
In the large hallway, Adam and Barbara are dancing. Lydia starts to rise in the air.
Shake your body liner.
Suspended in the air, Lydia twirls her arms, then repeatedly raises them above her head in time to the music. Adam and Barbara spin apart. In a waiting room, Beetlejuice sits on a couch fondling a pair of legs in fishnet stockings. A woman whacks him with a book.
Sorry, didn't see you sitting there.
She's at the other end of the couch from her legs.
Women. I don't know what her problem is. Normally chicks.
Beetlejuice sits between a witch doctor and the guy with a tiny shrunken head. Beetlejuice looks at a ticket. He's nearly 10 trillionth in a queue. Now serving 3 lights up on a sign. Beetlejuice sees the witch doctor is next with a ticket marked 4.
Pardon me. Did you do that?
The shrunken head.
Very nice work. Let me ask you something. How do you get him down so small? Hey, there goes Elvis! Yo, King!
As the witch doctor turns, Beetlejuice swaps tickets.
Looks like I'm next. Good thing, too. I gotta do a photo shoot for GQ in about an hour and a half. Yeah, they've been after me for months. Doing some kind
the witch doctor sprinkles gold dust on him and his head shrinks.
Hey, what are you doing? Hey, stop it! Hey, you're messing up here! Come on! Whoa! Whoa! Stop it! Whoa! Look for me.
Lydia is still suspended, boogieing and miming in mid-air. Behind her on the stairs, the footballers who didn't make the crash materialise dancing merrily. ITSE audio description by Matthew Vickers and Helen Vasey was read by Helen Vasey.
Left to right is the tempo, and when she gets the sensation, she go up in the air, come down in slow motion. Jump in the line, rock your body in time. Okay, I believe you. Jump in the line, rock your body in time. Shake, 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 Sinora, shake your body line. Shake, 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 Sinora, shake it all the time. Work, 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 Sinora.